time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for October 24th. Holidays today. It's Make a Difference Day, National Bologna Day, and United Nations Day. And we're going to give you a little bit of everything, much like the United Nations. We want to shout out happy 77th birthday to Bill Dundee. Not Crocodile Bill Dundee, it's just Bill Dundee. 77, never worked in WWE, but is a famous wrestler. If you go through the histories of the NWA, as well as Jerry, very tied to Jerry Lawler as well. He's made his name. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. You can catch UFC this weekend at Salvatore's Saloon in Syracuse, in Scottsville. It'll be tonight, 10 p.m. We're going to get the undefeated Khabib versus, I can't remember, Furby, who's Khabib taking on?
Gaethje.
I think it's
TJ Gaethje or Tyler Gaethje, Tim Gaethje. I know his last name's Gaethje.
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
pretty good too.
Yeah, I think he's and he's been asking for it. So this is the first time we've seen Khabib in what, like a year? Seems like it at least.
It's been a while.
It has been
They were playing the Fight Night replay on or the UFC replay on ESPN2 this past week. They had Anthony Pettis versus Tony Ferguson from that card of Khabib and McGregor, and that was a barn burner.
Yeah, definitely. There was, well, that we got that tonight going on out there, Salvatore Saloon in Scottsville. Say that six times real fast. Also, hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're in the men's team, it's a Flower City Fear, FLOUR, flowercityfear.com if you're interested in helping out or joining. I will say that roller derby is picked up. We are now into our second or third week of practices. And they're making their way towards it, even though there's supposedly a second wave of this COVID-19 coming. I we'll see. I guess we'll see. It's been going up the last few days. I hope it's it doesn't get too crazy, but because I want my sports back. I'm tired of stupid things like Buffalo Bills games on Tuesday nights, and stupid things because of COVID-19. But we're here. To talk wrestling, and I am your cash man, your humble host, with Furby joining us this week. How you doing, Furbs?
I'm doing well. I am back, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's good that you're back, and we are joined by the artiste, Rob Sanderson. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. I like the 2CW banner. If you look at the pictures I'm posting, you got that 2CW banner. That show is not happening, is it? Is it? Is it, Rob?
It is scheduled for December 20th. I don't think it's happening that date. It will happen, but I don't think it's going to happen in December. So okay. No official word yet. I mean, it's the same thing like everything else. There's no way to know, but things are not really improving overall numbers wise and stuff. So, optimism is not really there for that happening in December. So
no, I can understand that. I mean, to even think about it, we're just hop, skip, and a jump from all these holiday seasons. Can you imagine if the malls aren't packed, for shopping and everything? I mean, everyone's going to be ordering online. You're going to be getting, those Amazon trucks are going to be everywhere on the roads. You know, people are going to be delivering stuff all over the place. I think that's the only way it can happen this year. So let's keep our fingers.
Places are already doing. Places are already doing their Black Friday ads online. So
yeah, well, let's keep our fingers crossed. Halloween's coming up next week. Actually, we get to be a. We should dress up for next week's show. We could do it's a Halloween show. You know, maybe we'll think about that, okay? But well, I want to talk about the world of pro wrestling. I know I've killed enough time already. We've got lots going on this weekend. We've got two pay-per-views. We've got Bound for Glory for Impact Wrestling. That's going to be Saturday night. And Sunday night, we get Hell in the Cell. That, of course, you know, WWE Network. So, but that's not where we're going to start with. I'm going to start with, since we're now post-draft, we're going to start with talking a little bit about Raw this past Monday night. The season debut of Raw, which is funny, is when does the season end and when does the next one start? Did they determine that in the middle of the week? Because nobody said this was the season finale, the draft, you know, so we got the season debut of Raw. And I thought we had some real changes on the show, enough that I wanted to talk a little bit about it in the first segment. First change is we've got, you know, all the new members are on Raw who weren't there. You know, we have, you know, everyone. And then there's the people who got drafted to the other brands who still showed up on Raw this week. Now, if I was watching Raw and they spent all that time in the last week drafting guys to one show or the other, why am I still seeing people like Alexa Bliss, who I think she got drafted to SmackDown?
She got drafted to Raw.
Oh, that's right. Well, somebody got drafted to SmackDown who was on Raw this past week. I'm trying to remember. And they were like making excuses on there, like, oh, they're saying goodbye. This is their last week. They're saying goodbye.
Yeah, they did that with SmackDown, too, last week. And it was one of those things where they were doing their farewell matches. Like, the New Day had it on SmackDown, and I can't remember who had it this past week on Raw. But, you know, it's just WWE doing their thing.
Well, I mean, you know, they break their rules as soon as they lay their rules down. They change it the next week. And then we know that they used to have the wild card or whatever, but that wasn't even brought up, and that was an Eric Bischoff thing like about a year ago, was the wild card. You know, that was when he was still running SmackDown. But I want to talk a little bit about The Fiend coming out and pretty much, I think, neutering Retribution on Monday night. But Retribution comes out when The Fiend's in the middle of the ring. And by the way, I kind of like Alexa Bliss with this evil look. Maybe I'm a little biased and I think she's super hot. But she looked like Freddy Krueger. Did you notice that? She had like the striped shirt on and stuff.
Yeah, I'm digging it right now. I think this is perfect. It was a nice change of character for her. First of all, she was getting kind of boring with her and Nikki Cross. They were just kind of caught in the middle there. There wasn't anything that was like changing or nothing that was really all that exciting.
I think the biggest excitement was them drinking coffee on TV every week, you know?
Yeah. And she just kind of got stuck in a rut. Now this gives her, you know, a little bit more of a push, gives her a nice new character direction, and kind of gives the Fiend a voice. So it's awesome. I'm digging it right now.
Well, I will say that the Fiend also, was thrown up against Retribution, proceeded to take them all out by himself. And not only is it that he's taking on Retribution, but Retribution is a heel faction, and The Fiend really never has been going against faces since The Fiend debuted. And now, so this is the big curve into The Fiend, turning him into the face. I think that so Retribution is going to make him the face.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that 100%. I mean, I think they're kind of going that direction. You know, the thing is with The Fiend, even though he was playing a heel character, I don't think he was ever disliked. So he was caught in that tweener phase, and he's just gonna get great crowd reaction no matter if there's nobody in the actual arena. But people love The Fiend. You know, he's popular, and this at least allows Retribution to somewhat stay relevant. I know The Fiend kind of squashed him this past Monday, which was fantastic. But it kind of gives them a level of big-time feel now. And we'll see where it goes from here.
Well, that's the whole thing, too, is it's it's just it's a change of character. And but you know, the thing you mentioned that really was the sore thumb, I think, in the whole deal is that you said that the fans cheered him, but man, there are no fans watching this. There are, you know, video replays of people from who knows when, maybe 6 months ago when they first started this, or whenever, 3 months ago. So it's like, and the crowd pumping, and it's like, it. I just find that, you know, it's the WWE machine working again, you know, like, I was talking with somebody about how they used to pump in the crowd sound, and one time we were on the floor, and you could hear the crowd sound, the cheers come in, and I'm looking around trying to figure out who's cheering, because nobody around me was, and it was John Cena coming in. So, Rob, you have any thoughts on that? You know, how do you feel, you know, about the change? You know, I mean,
I don't have many thoughts just because it's Monday Night Raw, but I mean, I think Alexa is certainly somebody who's shown that she is valuable character-wise and promo-wise and acting-wise and all that stuff. So to put her in something that she can actually do that with, where it doesn't just have to be random, I don't know, interviews or matches or whatever, like it makes sense to potentially give her a real character. So that's about all I got on that. I don't know.
One question that I want answered. So WWE, if you're listening, hit me up. Why in the world, if you're going to split up the Iconics, do you throw Peyton Royce in a tag team match with Lacey Evans? Someone answer me that.
Well, and another thing I wanted to mention was Lacey Evans and Peyton Royce coming out together, and Peyton Royce trying to do her introduction and running into Lacey Evans, because Lacey Evans didn't realize that Peyton Royce did that dip down in the back along the ropes. Did you guys catch that at all when they kind of crashed into each other?
I did, and it made for a great meme this past week on Facebook, so it was nice.
It was, but it was weird. I mean, it was like, it was something that, and I'm surprised, I mean, they were going to do those iconic, no pun intended, those iconic views from the front of the ring where they, you know, they do their little intro struts across the ropes. And when she was like bending backwards, Lacey Evans probably didn't see her at all, because she's like,
I mean, it was clearly one of those times where it was an awkward moment. They clearly didn't know, like, what their entrances were. They clearly didn't rehearse that, or if they did, she forgot. It just, again, it's another situation that just makes them look bad, and it's stupid.
Yeah. Speaking of feelings on some things we've saw, and we're gonna break on this. I'm gonna tease this going into the break. We saw on AEW Dynamite this week something I've never seen in my life in the world of pro wrestling. If you watched it, you may know what I'm talking about. It involves MJF and Chris Jericho. And we are going to talk about that on the flip side right after these breaks. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
We are Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Yes, Alexa Bliss's old music we may never hear again, as she comes out now to Bray Wyatt's music or The Fiend's music. But
I mean, they don't really stick with anything they do, though, right? So she'll be back to that in a month.
Yeah, it depends what happens, how that falls apart. But we talked about that in the last segment if you missed it. But I definitely want to talk a little bit about this past week's AEW's Dynamite. Overall, I enjoyed the show a lot. You know, we got to see, I'll throw a couple things out. The Cleaner, we got to see Kenny Omega show up, and when I saw the brooms were out with the girls, it's like he's not, you know. And the Cleaner is the thing that Kenny did going into his time in New Japan, where he had, I don't know, he had a unique look that I don't think he has anymore. He'd wear like black head to toe. He had blonde hair with that big blue splotch in the front, and his hair was really, really long. But I mean, it was, you know, it's always a talent that gets Kenny Omega over. But I was excited to see maybe him grasping a little bit at something he's had success with before on a smaller, I mean, this is, I think he's, getting this over in America is important to him. Getting himself over in America is important to him. I'm hoping this helps. But we got to see the cleaner, and I mean, it was a real quick match. To be honest with you, we were messaging during it, and they spent the entire match reading his resume, and it was over by the time they were done. You know, they were talking about, you know, all his accolades and everything, and by the time they had finished promoting his accolades, it was a 1-2-3. So I thought it was interesting. It's neat that they're trying to. I mean, and Danger is very vocal about how he thinks Kenny is nowhere over, but I think that maybe this is a start. What do you think? Artiste about the cleaner showing up last night?
I mean, I obviously, you know, you can see the brooms and all of that. I think it's more just kind of like slightly teasing it. I wouldn't, if people want to see the cleaner, I wouldn't say that that's the cleaner. You're going to get a lot more as that progresses, obviously, but very happy. I like where they're going. I think it's very, very maybe too predictable what could be happening over the next 6 months in AEW with the tournament and title changes and heel changes and matchups in the finals. And it's too easy to predict right now what's going to happen, but I think it's time for Kenny to break out. I mean, those accolades are all real, and he put on some of the best matches, and he can be a great character, and he doesn't need to just be this generic babyface that he's been the past year. It seems that, you know, him and the Bucks have kind of sat in the background for a little bit for the first year, and now it's time for them to push into the spotlight. And of course, a lot of people are going to complain about that, like a lot of people complain about Cody Rhodes and thinking that these guys are just going to put themselves over. But I mean, this company exists because of these guys, to be honest, too. So that they deserve a fair chance. And quite honestly, if we get to a point of Kenny Omega as the AEW World Champion, I think it's going to be more interesting than the John Moxley era. I'm just going to throw that out there. And that's not necessarily a shot at Moxley. And obviously there's been, you know, he's had some weird random feuds, and he's had to be the champion during the pandemic and all of this stuff. But I think if we get to that point, I think it's going to be a refreshing change. Also, I mean, you just said it was a good show. Just talking about the show overall, I thought it was much, much better than the anniversary show. I thought this week's show blew that out of the water.
Yeah, I have to agree 100%. Just going back to Kenny real quick, it's step one, just getting to the cleaner. And, you know, the accolades, there's a reason why he's the best bout machine. You know, it's going to get really interesting. Yes, I do think it's kind of predictable where they're going, but now it's all about how they roll with it. Overall, the show, way better than an anniversary show. Pentagon and Phoenix, classic.
The only thing is that the match was good, but it could have been so much better if it didn't look like Phoenix took a bad bump like early on, and then it was a little off. But
yeah, still a really good match, and I've seen them have better, so it's like, okay. But it was still a very good match. But yeah, AEW was great this week.
Apparently,
really enjoyed it.
Apparently, one of the guys from the Dark Order got knocked out in that last match.
Alex Reynolds.
Yeah, Reynolds.
I looked at that clip again today, and I don't. Quite honestly, I don't understand what Rick Knox is doing as the referee. I mean, Reynolds took the bump and just seemed to be knocked out, and I don't remember if it was. I want to say it was Blade, or Pepper Parks, or Braxton Sutter, or whatever you want to call him, like they just dragged him over to the corner, like he was like a dead body being dragged across the ring. Reynolds was still in some spots, like double team moves with the Young Bucks and some other stuff. That was a little uncomfortable too. So I don't know why Reynolds wasn't just kind of taken out of the match, to be honest, but haven't heard anything since then that there's any like true injury or long-term thing or anything like that, which is good.
Yeah, I just heard he got knocked out. That was pretty much it, you know?
Yeah. One thing I want to say about AEW, I think practically it's character death if you ever want to tag team with Brandy or do anything with her. Because first of all, the Nightmare Collective was there, got shut down, and then there was no real ending. She went to a psychology appointment, and all of a sudden that was over. Then they tried the Natural Nightmares or the Nightmare Sisters with Brandy and Allie. They never really got any sort of ending there, other than that Eddie Kingston told Blade to get his home in order, and then now all of a sudden she's the bunny again. So, just
I didn't like that was kind of a surprise on Dark this week when Allie walked out during the QT's match, and then just it was just a distraction, and then she walked away with Kingston. It was like that. You never explained why she went there in the first place. Obviously, there was that attraction with her and QT or whatever, but like there was no real involvement with Butcher and Blade on that for her to just leave. And now all of a sudden, it's just like that. It's just a distraction. It's not even a low blow or getting in the ring for promo or anything. It was just like walking out, distraction, and then a few minutes later, just standing there as Kingston was talking with his whole family there. So I really wish they would have done more than that. The kind of flopping around with that is.
There was so much.
I mean, I guess it makes sense to put her back with Butcher and Blade. I just wish that. I hope they figure out a way to do it. Like, it's kind of another one of these big stables now. And if Kingston is the talker, like for Allie, for Bunny before, when it was just Butcher and Blade, she was the one that could talk. Quite honestly, she's the best talker of those three. Now, if they have Kingston to do the talking, she doesn't necessarily do much unless. You know, she's just part of the family that's wrestling, or she's out there in a valet circumstance, but not really. I don't know. I hope they figure something out with it, because it seems like just like thrown together again.
Absolutely. And 100%, they made the right move of bringing her back, you know, with Butcher, Blade, and the Bunny. They did the right thing. There's just so much more they couldn't have done to get it there, rather than just, oh, hey, okay, she's back to being the Bunny again.
Well, you know, they there's not a long-term memory. I think they all think wrestling fans have short-term memory issues, because it's like, and they try things, you know that. I mean, they've been trying with Brandy for a while, trying to find a place for Brandy, and maybe they'll find eventually. But I wanted to
And some of that is luck, too. I mean, Brandy also, like, Brandy originally was with Kong, and then Kong left. That's not really Brandy's fault, like, in that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no.
This whole situation is just weird. I wish like some part of it had been explained at some point, or when she started to be with the Nightmare family, then maybe they have a quick little feud with Butcher and Blade, who they had already wrestled a ton before all of that.
They could have
did anything with it.
Yeah, they could have somehow done like the demise of the Natural Sisters or Natural Nightmare and QT and blah blah, but whatever.
Okay, so while we're talking about AEW, we gotta approach this. Jericho and MJF have a dinner together, and first they, as they're ordering their dinner, they're each trying to see how raw they can get their meat. Apparently, I'm not. Does that make you a man or something? I'm not sure about that, but it's like,
I cringed when MJF started it, saying "well done." I was just like, that's the ultimate heel thing for you to say." I'm not ordering a blue steak myself, though.
Well, but all of a sudden, you know, they break out into song and dance. I've never seen that in the world of pro wrestling before. You know, I mean, I've never seen, and then they had the Rockettes there as well with them or whatever, dancing with them. Some people say it was genius. The other people say it was uncomfortable. I just can say it's something I've never seen in my life before. And it only works in the entertainment industry, and they're in the entertainment industry. So why not bust out into a song and dance? I don't think we're going to see it again for a long time. But if you see the WWE do it, you know that they're borrowing it, okay? Because it's like they've done that before with some of the things that AEW has done. But I've never seen that in my life, and I don't know if I ever want to see it again. What would you think, Rob, about the little piece of Broadway? Like
debonair.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome. I just, like, to me, I know that AEW is billed as, like, this is going to be the wrestling company that does wrestling matches and all this, but you have to have entertainment mixed in, especially, like, these days. Like, some people, like, there's so much wrestling. There's so many wrestling matches. I want to be entertained as well. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was super creative. It showed, everybody knows Jericho and his, you know, music stylings and things like that, but a lot of people don't know that, like, that was actually MJF's voice. A lot of people thought that was just like him lip syncing to somebody, but go online and watch the clip of him as a 5-year-old on the Rosie O'Donnell show singing opera songs. He was in acapella in high school with the acapellas. Like, he has those pipes and used them. I thought it was super original. Just another piece in this puzzle. But like, yeah, like I loved it. It was, you know, maybe that's 6 or 7 minutes of a 2-hour show where you can step away from the ring when it's just, I mean, you had 4 quarterfinal matches in the tournament. You had the tag team qualifier match. You had the women's match. Like it was a nice break for everything. The praise for it, you know, on Twitter from, you know, everybody, Mick Foley, all sorts of people. People are literally offering up their Tony Awards to Jericho and MJF for, which I just think is cool. So yeah, it's not something you do all the time, but it shows, I think if anything, it shows Jericho doing what he can to make another star. And it shows more of that versatility that MJF has, where he's not just a wrestler, but he's quickly becoming the best promo guy in the business. And he now shows that he can sing too. So, you know, it's interesting how they've got this storyline going. And this is a lot better than just like, oh, MJF and Jericho are going to wrestle this week, or oh, all of a sudden he's in the inner circle. Like I thought it was great. I don't know who came up with the idea or whatever, but props to the whole crew that put that together, the background dancers, the cameramen, the waitress. I mean, all of it, I thought, sure, was just awesome.
Well, keep that
Thelma
in mind.
Or Velma, whoever it was.
Keep that in mind when we get Jericho on, to figure out who did it, whose idea was, who wrote it. I mean, listen, they had to make the music. I heard that they were still producing it up to 20 minutes before the show started on TV. So they were up again. It must have been a very long day for them to make that happen. But I mean, how often does the curtains pull apart behind you when you're eating dinner and the Rockettes are there, and you get a little dance, you know, a little soft shoe and a little dancing and some singing. MJF's voice, incredible. So we're gonna
they ditched the girls and then dropped them at the same time. It's so like all of it was just, it was funny. Like it started off a little slow and I'm like, where is this going? And then as soon as like they stood up and started going around the table and the curtains up, and I was like, this is genius.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are plenty of people, the Jim Cornettes of the world, that are going to just totally hate every second of it. But I thought it was a fresh idea. And like, we can hate all the time on like recycled ideas in professional wrestling. The fact of the matter is, it's like, pro wrestling has been around for a long time and it's been on national TV for a long time. There's only so many ideas out there. There's only so many ways you can come up with something new. This was actually something new. So credit to that, because it was different. It was cool.
Without a doubt. You know, we're going to get Furby's thought on the flip side, because we lost him remotely, but we'll get him back during the commercial break. So we'll go take a break. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. It sounds like Braun Strowman's hungry. No, he's always hungry. I'm the Cashman. I'm here with the Artiste and Furby, who we lost, but we got back. Furby, you there, buddy?
I am here. That bronze entry music right now sounds like my stomach.
Yeah, but Braun is hungry, and so is Furby. But Furby, we lost you right when we started talking about the song and dance from Jericho and MJF. How did that strike you when that started? I mean, I kind of felt it was coming with having the set and everything when it all set up. It's like something big is going to happen here, and I didn't want to see a food fight. So, but how did you feel when they went into the song and dance, and then there was like comedic spots during that as well?
Yeah, when I first saw it, I thought it was like, what the heck am I watching? And I thought it was just kind of, you know, more, you know, follow up from, you know, their confrontation in the ring the week prior. But this definitely blew it out of the water. I thought it was magic. It was really funny. It was a nice piece, nice change of scenery, and showcased their other talents other than just what they can do in the ring. Obviously, we know both are A-plus on the mic, and, you know, they're great at what they do. But one, I think MJF's probably a better singer than Jericho. It was great. It was real funny, and it was an A plus in my book.
Just remember, when we get Jericho on, you got to tell him that, okay? See what Jericho thinks about that.
Everybody. He's very upset.
Jericho might be the better singer on that day.
Maybe I don't know. We can confront them with that, see what he thinks. I'm sure, you know, maybe he'll have a duet with MJF on the next Fozzy album or something. But cool. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the pay-per-views this weekend, this segment, do a little bit of news in the next one. And we've got Impact Bound for Glory. This is the granddaddy of Impact Wrestling, TNA Impact Wrestling. Bound for Glory was their WrestleMania, is their WrestleMania every year. And we've got it coming up this week. This weekend, this Saturday, you've got a pay-per-view Saturday and you've got a pay-per-view Sunday because you got WWE's Hell in the Cell. But we'll start with Impact Bound for Glory. There's a lot of great matches on it. We're going to get Ken Shamrock inducted into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. That's going to be actually on the pre-show which you'll be able to watch live on Access TV. It's going to be something you can actually watch. And The Rock has recorded something for Ken Shamrock that's going to be played during that. So if you want to see The Rock show up on an Impact TV show, it's going to happen this weekend. I'm trying to figure out on my thing what time it's going to be at. I thought I put it someplace on.
It's 7 and then the pay-per-view's at 8.
Yeah, okay. So it's 7 and that. So between 7 and 8 on Access TV, if you get Access TV, then you can watch the Ken Shamrock Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame inductions, and The Rock will be showing up. But then he's wrestling as well. He's going to be wrestling on the show. I'm trying to remember. Oh, he's taking on Eddie Edwards, Eddie Edwards, probably the greatest wrestler in that company. I would put him, you know, compare him with Rich Swann, Eric Young. There's a lot of great wrestlers in that company, but we're going to get him taking on Eddie Edwards. So a lot of great matches. Main event's going to be Eric Young and Rich Swann. Eric Young came in, you know, for one of the guys released from WWE just a few months ago, comes in, takes the title from Eddie Edwards after Eddie Edwards had, you know, won it at what pay-per-view was that? Slammiversary. Yeah, the Slammiversary pay-per-view, which is another big one, one of the main ones for Impact Wrestling. And he shows up, and then Rich Swann shows up, you know, and Rich Swann got hurt last year at Bound for Glory. And has been rehabbing, I guess, whatever it was, a high ankle sprain or whatever for a long time. Came back and sold it again. Now he's out there. And if you remember Rich Swann from WWE, then you definitely know that both these guys, him and Eric Young, can go at it. It's probably going to be the best match of the night. Deonna Purrazza is defending her Knockouts champion against Kylie Rae. That's going to be a great match. And Deonna Purrazza, I like Kylie Rae a lot, though. She reminds me like a lot of what... what's her face used to be on WWE.
You're going to say Bayley, probably.
Bayley, yeah, that's what I mean. Because she's like, she is Bayley. She got the smiles and stuff. The Motor City Machine Guns are going to be going up against Good Brothers versus the North. North is probably one of the most underrated tag teams in the world, and they held those titles for a year. Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, Austin with, of course, Ace Austin and Madman Fulton in a four-way for those titles. That's going to be an exciting match. And Ace Austin, another guy who I think is underrated, but he's also kind of fresh, new in the business still, but he's very, very good. Really, EC3 versus Moose for the unsanctioned match for the title, which we saw them beat each other up out in the middle of a, I don't know, it was a swamp or something in Florida. Was it 2 weeks ago? They beat each other senseless
I believe. I believe it was 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I think it was 2 weeks ago, because then they had a bunch of the interviews this past week. Look for the two matches that I think, honestly, that are going to end up stealing the show are the four-way tag. A lot of good talent in there. I think we're going to see the Good Brothers go home with the tag team championships. But the six-way scramble for the X Division Championship, a lot of athletes in that match. Trey Miguel, TJP, Willie Mack, Chris Bay, Rohit Raju, and then the sleeper, Jordynne Grace. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe she goes home as the X Division champion tonight.
It's interesting is they have a couple matches with women and men mixed together. They also have the Call Your Shot Gauntlet match that's going on with Heath, Rhino, Hernandez, AC Romero, Larry D, Tennille Dashwood, Taya Valkyrie, who apparently got burned, I guess, pretty bad like a week ago, and hopefully she's okay to wrestle still. Brian Myers, Tommy Dreamer, Havoc, and still a whole handful of people to be named later for this match. The Call Your Shot. So that means guest stars. We're going to get a lot of surprise guest stars on
Heath or Rhino need to win that match. Otherwise, they're fired.
Yeah, and but I mean, this is a solid pay-per-view. This is going to be good. What do you think about it, Mr. Sanderson, Rob?
I'm looking forward to it a lot. I think for me, Deonna Purrazzo and Kylie Rae is the match I'm looking forward to the most. And word is that Deonna may have signed long-term with them, which is great for Impact. I really think she could help that AEW women's division, but good for Impact if they were able to lock her up long-term. Impact is really, if you're a fan of intergender wrestling, that's your company for it. You're not really getting it in WWE, and AEW, like we've heard, Tony Khan's not a fan of it, and it's just not going to happen there. But certainly there are the Jordynne Graces, the Kylie Rays, before Tessa, you know, all these women that can go with the guys. So, you know, I think it adds that kind of little bit of a different element. I also think that Good Brothers take home the tag titles, but overall, I think all of these matches are pretty intriguing to me. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Rich Swann take the title as well. You know, it would be a quick run for Eric Young, but it's not his first one, and Swann's been built up. And I think he's, even though he's the challenger in the main event of their biggest pay-per-view of the year, I think he's still underrated out there. And that could be what finally gets him kind of over that hump with a lot of fans. So definitely looking forward to that tonight for sure.
Definitely. And I'm going to say Willie Mack and Swann were tagging together when Swann got hurt. And Willie Mack ended up going on to win the X Division title because of that, I think. So Rich Swann. But, you know, if you remember with Rich Swann, he was an incredible athlete. I think WWE made a big mistake by first suspending him and then firing him really before they knew all the story of what the problems he had. And it was some sort of problem he had, a home life type of thing, but it was resolved between him and his wife, and everything's good. And but he was just a talent. I mean, he was shoulders above a lot of the wrestlers who were wrestling on 205 Live, and he was a guy that they brought to Raw a lot of times and were using him. So I would love to see Rich Swann take Eric Young. I mean, I wonder what the original plan was before all the release of these guys that opened up, you know, all these spaces for them on Impact Wrestling. You know, I'm guessing maybe Rich Swann was destined to be the champ eventually anyways, but it's a lot of quality guys. And like I said, Tommy Dreamer's going to be there, Brian Myers, and a bunch of people to be named later that are going to be in the Call Your Shot gauntlet match. So, you never know. But, yeah, I think, you know, thank you for pointing that out, Furby, that the X Division title, it's going to be, Trey Miguel is an incredible wrestler. Watching, you know, and Chris Bay, of course. So it's going to definitely be a great, great night of pay-per-view. Were you going to say something else there, Mr. Furby?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think going back to just the main event here, I think Eric Young is a guy that is probably a leader in that locker room that doesn't necessarily need the championship. I know he plays the maniac on TV, but a guy to elevate in this scenario like Rich Swann, you know, kind of show him, give him the reins, essentially, give him the title and build this guy up. It's a guy that they've kind of used even throughout the injury. They've built him up throughout this time frame and the rehab and everything. It's kind of the whole year-long story, and I think this is the time, especially on what's supposed to be your biggest pay-per-view of the year. You know, give it to a guy like Swann. Eric Young can go and have other feuds. I think there's definitely guys out there. If they build it right, obviously they'll be fine. And then I'm really excited for Bound for Glory. I think back-to-back pay-per-views, you know, going back to Slammiversary, at the time, Slammiversary felt like it was the bigger deal.
Yeah.
Because they got all these debuts, but this is a great way to follow it up with Bound for Glory.
And I want to tell people that they can get Bound for Glory. It's $39.99 at Fight.tv and DirecTV. Impact announced that the show will be broadcast in English, French, German, Spanish on Fight. Josh Matthews and Don Callis will be the English team. The Spanish team will be Hector Melendez and Conan. So, you know, Conan's been working with them for a long time. So it's going to be a great show. It's this Saturday night. You definitely do not want to miss it. We do have, of course, one for the WWE. I'll take a break here and we'll come back and talk about it as well as some news, because we ran a little bit long in that segment. segment. But it's an exciting weekend for wrestling. And, you know, since there's nothing better to do anyways, why not, you know, order these, stay home and watch them, you know, catch up. And if you aren't watching Impact Wrestling, you're missing a little treasure every week. It's on Access TV. You get 2 hours every week. And it pretty much is like, I'd say 95% wrestling, maybe, a, you know, 5% of backstage stuff, you know, storyline things. But it's really, you get a lot of great action every week. But that said, we'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with the Artiste, Rob Sanderson, and Furby. And you and Rob Sanderson in Rochester, Furby in Hilton, I being downtown at the palatial studios of WHTK. And thank you so much for listening. We're here every Saturday morning. And we know in just 2 weeks, we're celebrating a birthday. We're going to be having our 22nd birthday. So now, and we were illegal last year. Now we're 1 year past legal. And can you? I can't believe we've been doing this for 22 years. I have never done anything this long in my life. So, thank you for listening. But let's get back to it real quick. We are going to mention WWE Hell in a Cell. That's Sunday night. There's really three big matches and a lot of other ones that were added in late. But we'll talk about just the three big matches. Bayley and Sasha Banks in a Hell in a Cell match for the SmackDown Women's Champion. That's going to be Sasha. This is Sasha's, I think, third Hell in a Cell match, so she's the experienced one of the two. But I think it's going to be a good match. I mean, I'm kind of excited for that. I mean, it's just hard to do things new when you're trapped in a cage. What do you guys think about that match? Go ahead, Fred.
I think it's one of the two matches I care the most about on that show, I guess. I mean, those two have had so many good matches over the years, dating back to their NXT time and stuff, that, I mean, I would just make that, I know they're not going to, but I would make that the main event. I mean, they've teased it for so long and stuff. I would assume that the Reigns match will be on last, but I just, I think that it's another opportunity for them to showcase it, and that's, I'm obviously very critical of WWE, but I think that's the one storyline that they've taken their time with, and they teased it for a while and everything. And I think that's one of the more intriguing feuds out there these days.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree 100%. I think this would be a spot where you could put those two women in the main event. Maybe the show starter that could steal the show, but this is about, you know, four and a half years in the making now. And like you said, they went super slow with this. They teased it. It went away. It came back. They're friends. Now they hate each other. And this is one of those things where Sasha's out for blood. I mean, she's really, this is where she's going to take the title. And if she doesn't, I would be very surprised to see it go further. And if they do, I wouldn't be opposed to it, because I can't say that it's the right time for her to take the title, because it's one of those things where a lot of times where you finally get that turn, and then, you know, Sasha, who's now the good guy, takes the title, and then you kind of see them go their separate ways. I wouldn't mind to see this be drawn on a little bit further, because they can do so much. So I still think Sasha probably takes the title tomorrow, but it's going to be a great way to start the show, I believe, if they do go on first.
You know, I like the match. I'm excited for it. Like I said, Sasha's probably the more experienced one in the Hell in a Cell. She's going to, you know, we'll get a good match out of both of them. Then we have got two matches left, and both of them are for titles, one for the Universal Championship and one for the WWE Championship. I'm guessing Roman Reigns is going to be on last. So we'll go to Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton. If you saw the way Raw ended this past Monday night, it kind of ended, you know, right after Drew McIntyre got into the cage to confront Randy Orton after he had used the bolt cutters to get through the lock. And it almost seemed like there was more to be told after that, but that's when the show ended. So a lot of times they're usually good at like having some sort of conclusion. They left a cliffhanger on Monday night. I've enjoyed both their work. Randy Orton, a lot of people think Randy Orton was going to take it the last pay-per-view, and he may just take it at this one. You know, why not? Keep this going on. And much like the Sasha Bayley, I think even if Sasha won, it would keep their feud going on. Let's keep this feud going on. I'm going to pick Randy Orton in this one, and I think this is going to be a pretty good match. I mean, Drew McIntyre is a specimen. I mean, unbelievable shape, incredible athlete, and Randy Orton is as well. And, you know, with those two guys in the ring, you know magic will happen. What do you think, Mr. Furby?
I think with this match, it's definitely one of those things where I would not be surprised to see if Orton takes the title. And then you see on the flip side where you got Drew McIntyre chasing Orton again. On Monday Night Raw, I think they finally have a couple more stars on Raw now than what they had over the course of the last maybe like 6 months, 6-7 months. So there's obviously an opportunity where you could see some different feuds, but I think we're already seeing just from this past Monday where some of those stars are already going to be caught up in something. You know, guys like Braun Strowman and Keith Lee, I don't think we're done with that. The Fiend caught up with Retribution, I don't think we're done with that. So, again, just like you said, Cash, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing McIntyre and Orton, you know, still going after the title, but this time the strap around Randy Orton's waist. And I think that makes Drew McIntyre even more appealing is when he's on the chase. The face on the chase is always better, and the heel with the strap is always better.
How about you, Rob? What do you think?
So I think this is a match with two of the, honestly, more underrated guys in the business. That being said, it's one of my least intriguing matches of the weekend, pay-per-view-wise. I think a title change is probably in order at this point. And just kind of overall talking about the show, I mean, I know we said there's like the three main matches and then there's one other one that's announced. I kind of hope it's just that. I mean, the Hell in a Cell matches are long. You know, we've talked about some of these pay-per-views recently kind of not being 3-4, 10-hour, you know, long pay-per-views. I'm fine with a four match. If these matches get a half hour each or whatever, I mean, just let those main event style matches, maybe throw one other match in there or something. But I don't need eight matches for a Hell in a Cell style pay-per-view. Let Bayley and Sasha go 40 minutes. I'm totally fine with that. So I don't know. The feud with McIntyre and Orton obviously is not something that has kept my interest enough for me to be, you know, quickly tuning to the USA Network on a Monday night.
Sure.
I'll just put it that way. But I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of talent there. I would like to see that whatever happens after that. I don't really want to see a rematch again after this. I'd like to see them go in a new direction one way or another.
Yeah, I agree. And so we got one last match, and I'm going to go a little bit quick because we're running out of time. Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, I Quit inside Hell in a Cell. Obviously, this is finally to put Roman Reigns over as the mega heel like we're expecting. I think Roman Reigns wins it. I think he's going to do something vicious and, you know, worse than, you know, asking the his cousin to, you know, call him the high chief or whatever it was he was doing on the last pay-per-view. But I think Roman Reigns comes out as the number one heel of SmackDown after this. What are your thoughts, Ferbs?
I mean, I have to agree all around there again. I mean, Roman's going to definitely take home the title. I mean, Jay wasn't even supposed to really get this match to begin with. His match at Clash of Champions was really supposed to be a one and done. But because this is probably the second or third best story in WWE right now, they really didn't have a choice because it was over. And it's building Roman into that mega heel, which is the right direction to go.
Cool. How about you, Artiste?
I'm looking forward to the match. I like that Jey Uso's getting this opportunity. I think it's, again, it's something kind of fresh than the same old recycled matchups. That being said, the only thing that sucks about it is I agree. It's super predictable. I don't think anybody is putting money down on Jey Uso winning. But hopefully it'll still be a good match. And really, like I said, like let Reigns just pummel his cousin and let him truly get over as this monster heel. I think that's what needs to happen.
Very cool. Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to get squeezing some news before we get out of here. We got a good minute and a half here. Let's see. We've got WWE recently got denied multiple trademarks due to the lack of written consent. They tried to trademark Drew Gulak, Pete Dunne, and Tony Nese and Justice. They got denied.
Let's
those.
Not try to trademark guys' real names, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably why they won't get permission. But they did make a trademark on a guy named Mark Andrews, Oliver Carter, and Piper Niven. So you might see those names showing up sometime. time soon. Vice TV has come out and said that there's going to be a third season of Dark Side of the Ring. They've got 14 episodes they're making in the third season. First season had
such
6.
A great show. Go watch it if you haven't. Are there that many topics left for them to cover?
Well, there's
that are going to be as intriguing as the shows we've had so far.
I know that Brian Pillman's going to be one of the topics, so they're going to have, you know,
and Rochester's on China should be one too,
and Jake Roberts' family and everything. So they've got a bunch of them. They're all set up to. So congrats to them. We'll see when they get started. Made next year. Some other news. At Major League Wrestling will be using former NBA referee Tim Donaghy, who you might remember being the referee who took money
And latest reports of MLW, a bunch of former WWE guys showed up at their tapings this past week. They taped 16 episodes, so a lot of stuff coming from MLW. Leo Rush, Sean Devari, and ACH.
Wow, Sean Devari, who was an agent there in WWE. So with that note, we're going to get out of here. There might Ring of Honor recently had TV tapings where they did in a bubble. So we're going to see a lot of new Ring of Honor coming up soon, which I'm excited about. And this Wednesday, you got to catch, at least tape it or record it, Halloween Havoc edition of NXT with a Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal on 2 matches. We're going to have a Haunted House of Terror with Cameron Grimes versus Dexter Lumis, which I thought was set up beautiful this past week with that creepy Lumis in the background. And then we've got Wade Barrett has a challenge out to Vic Joseph to a Halloween costume contest. And that being said, next week will be our Halloween episode of the Pain Clinic. I want to thank you, Mr. Ortiz. Thank you, Furby. Danger didn't make it in, so maybe, you know, he's cleaning the hot tub of love someplace. We got to get out of here. We'll see you next week, folks.